Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, wash your hands and Joe at RT.ie. Marion Logue. Marion, good afternoon. Back to the Bank of Ireland scandal. What happened in your case, Marion?
Well, on the 3rd of April, Joe, I was scammed €3,000. Okay. And I think I was one of the earliest, unfortunately, and not having had any experience of this before, I was it was shocking, you know. And just to say, I was sent two text messages, and since then, I've been reading every possible type of information that was offered to us prior and since the offence against me.
And were you were you like most of the victims so far? You were sent a text message on the Bank of Ireland's thread.
On their thread, on the Premier Banking messaging site,
okay,
which
so
I
above,
have enjoyed
above
what Bank
turned,
of Ireland.
Above what turned out to be a fraud was genuine text from the Bank of Ireland. And below what turned out a fraud was genuine text from the Bank of Ireland.
Genuine text. And, you know, this is interesting. I had the two texts in. First, the request to give them the information I unfortunately gave them. Mm-hmm. And the second one was a request, a six-numbered, verified by Visa one-time passcode. And this was I was asked to use this within 10 minutes to complete your purchase for €3,000 at Revolut 3DS. Now, I freaked out, as you can imagine. You know, and but to add insult to injury, Joe, 2 days later, on the very same thread, on the very same messaging site, I got another text from Bank of Ireland asking me to rate our performance. And they also sent me, with this text, they sent me a link to click to rate their performance. I mean, how insulting is that?
How many digits, how much did you give your absolutely in total full information to these fraudsters thinking it was the Bank of Ireland?
Well, to be honest with you, I have an actual, I have a screenshot of it. Mm-hmm. And if you look, I think I sent it to your researcher and the screenshot is exactly the same. The pictorial representation is exactly the same as one you would get if you're accessing your Bank of Ireland 365 details in order to proceed with a credit transfer or something, you know. And so when that came through, it actually asked me, what it said was, your Bank of Ireland Visa card is deactivated due to the suspicious charge made today.
Okay.
Proceed to www.onlinevisa.com to review the charge on your card.
Okay.
So naturally, I clicked and on this link and the regular secure login site opened up. It's, you know, exactly what I would have expected, having used it for years. And the request was, of course, for my user ID and date of birth.
Mm-hmm.
And this brought me to the next level where my card number was requested. And then the three numbers of my PIN.
Well, your PIN is four numbers, isn't it?
As far as I remember, I was asked for three numbers of my PIN.
So you didn't give your complete information?
No. I didn't. My PIN would be... No, my actual Banking 365 PIN, they asked, requested three numbers,
and
as far as I remember. And then within seconds, another text appeared, and this gave me six numbers to immediately use within... Well, it said within 10 minutes, and it was a verified by Visa one-time passcode. Now, when I realised that what had happened... I presumed everything had been okay then, because I had then gone to this verified by Visa one-time passcode. I had done what they had asked me, the scammers had asked me to do, thinking it was the bank. And I immediately then phoned, which is a Premier Banking phone number that is in operation 24/7. And the message there, of course, stated that due to COVID, the recorded message, it was most inadequate. It said that the service is reduced from 24/7 to 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., but that an online channel will open up now. You can email us, Premier Banking, and a representative will be in contact with you the next day. I mean, 24 hours too late, you know. And the interesting thing is, My scam text came in at 4:55, and the assistance from Bank of Ireland finished at 5 p.m. Now, there was absolutely no phone number given for the fraud department. And you can imagine the state I was in at the time.
Yeah, that's what they're relying on, these fraudsters.
But what's interesting, with all the complaints I've sent to the Bank of Ireland and the final response, I have prepared documents now for the Ombudsman. I sent them
to. But the final response to your complaint from the Bank of Ireland was, it's a long, detailed response, but our fraud investigation team have advised us that as you provided your personal banking details along with the one-time passcode, the decision to hold you liable remains unchanged.
That's exactly what they said.
What did you think of that judgment?
Well, it's horrendous. And I really, I liked the programme yesterday where you're the
CEO,
the banking lady, she actually said, I didn't hand the keys to my car to a fraudster or to a thief. Bank of Ireland handed my keys. They did. Because I could not have completed, this transaction could not have been completed without having had some serious security glitch. It's the disrespect I found appalling. I have been with the Bank of Ireland, would you believe, for 45 years, been sort of coming close to the senior end of my life. We are techie 4-year-olds, they cajoled us into doing banking online, which of course is the future.
That's what they want, and it saves the bank money as well. But they say in the judgment, there are regular tweets from the Bank of Ireland reminding customers to never disclose passwords or confidential information.
Yes, but what they didn't say, in my response, is that a fraudster, when I said that, hold on now, this message didn't pretend to come from the Bank of Ireland. It actually emanated directly from your messaging site. And their response to me in their final letter was, and I quoted, a fraudster can come through on a genuine company thread simply by downloading a piece of software and typing in any number of alpha tag, for example, Bank of Ireland. Now, that's not an excuse. That is a statement which I have looked at every single detail because I'm very aerated about it. And that nowhere has that advice been given.
If it's that easily, I'm looking for that sentence in the long... Oh, sorry, yeah. A fraudster can come through on a genuine company thread simply by downloading a piece of software and typing in any number or alpha tag, i.e. Bank of Ireland. If it's that simple, abandon it now.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. But what really bothers me most
if the latch on your gate is broke, you either get a new latch or you put a temporary permanent stop on the gate until you can get it by a new lock.
Yes. Another thing that I found very
disturbing. And by the way, I know you use the car analogy. If, I've yet to find anyone who did, if, as Francesca McDonough said, it's like somebody giving away their car keys, what you were doing, right? If you lost your mind temporarily, God, I know you wouldn't marry him, please God, hopefully. If you lost your mind temporarily and you went outside your hall door and you handed your keys to a stranger and said, this is my car, within an hour or two, you'd realise what you did was absolutely, totally and utterly stupid or negligent or a sign of your unwellness, which you don't suffer from. So you then go to the Gardaí and you explain to them in a fit of madness, I actually handed my car keys to somebody. And they say, what's the registration number of your car? You give them the registration number of your car. They, by paperwork, decide you are the rightful owner. And they go to that person and say, thanks very much, but car number 192D777777 belongs to Marion Logue and we have to return it to her. End of.
Yes.
The analogy is nonsense.
See, I thought your caller yesterday, the statement of that the actual bank had half the key. So they were complicit with the scammers to secure the scam in the first place.
So where to now? Because I'm looking at the copy of your notes in...
Yes.
And there are more notes written in reply to the dense paragraphs.
I've sent 15 photographs of various of all the fraudulent
just taking up your life, Marion.
Well, it has upset me greatly, and nobody can afford to lose 3,000. But having heard some of your other callers and their much more distressed situations, may I say, Joe, thank you so much for doing this for us.
And it's the listeners who are doing it. Now, the Bank of Ireland
it's a psychological effect it has on people.
They have given us a statement.
You know, my home has been broken into.
Can't talk about individual cases.
I feel that my home has been broken into, and it's exactly the vulnerability people feel when they're being robbed. You know, it's the same feeling.
By the way, they said they'd do a full review of all impacted cases. Hopefully, well, they will stick to that. They say that publicly. But they've also said to everyone who's got a letter saying, you're not getting your money back. Isn't that correct?
Oh, but they did.
They've already
Absolutely.
Made that decision. Yeah.
Now, they made that decision.
We have another statement in from the Central Bank of Ireland. Oh, sorry, this is the bank, this is another Bank of Ireland statement which came in today. However, we understand that stress caused to customers who were tricked into sharing their confidential personal banking information by criminals. We welcome customer feedback, and we are therefore going to conduct an additional review of all impacted cases in the recent smishing attack. If any customer would like to bring any further information to us in relation to their case, we'd be happy to discuss it. And we'll make contact. But they're saying, will you go back to them? Is that the way you hear that?
Well, to be honest with you, in my letter, my response to their final letter, I was quite naturally upset. And I did say that I would take all my business. I'm not saying it much, but, you know, that I would I would consider another bank, because really I can't feel confident that they can be trusted again, because something is wrong. I mean, I would love to know really statistically how many other banks or financial institutions have had this level of scamming going on, or smishing, or whatever is the proper name. Now, one last thing that I think is important, Joe, is that when I brought this anomaly to their attention, that when I phoned the Premier Banking, which I've often phoned, naturally, and the response was, it was a recorded message, to ask me to email. And when I explained how important it would be to have a phone number straight off, because people are ringing during COVID and with the restrictions, you know, they may need help. And they admitted, actually, in the letter that you have there that I had written to them, and the response from them is actually that this anomaly, I asked that they should replace it with the phones, and they apologised and told me that this has now been rectified to include the fraud department's phone number straight off. But they also said that all those details are at the back of our Visa cards. Now, if you check your Visa card, it's in such tiny writing, and it actually, the title on the phone number is for lost or stolen, and in big capital letters only. There's absolutely no place where all eventualities or all problems or, you know.
Well, the Bank of Ireland also say there has been no breach or issue of any kind with Bank of Ireland's systems in relation to these smishing frauds. The process where a fraudster can drop a text into a thread of text messages from any company is a feature of mobile phone technology and is not in any way linked to the bank. It is a common tactic used by fraudsters against the customers of banks and many other service providers. It in no way indicates an IT system issue or data breach on the part of the bank. I don't think anyone's alleging that. But they are saying it sounds like it's fairly easy to do, so why leave yourselves open to doing it?
But why not tell us in advance? You see, if they had given us... And one thing I also did is in to my Twitter account, a friend had sent me a screenshot again of a contact she had, who had sent her exactly what this text looks like.
Okay.
And having taught all my life, I said, a picture paints a thousand words. You know, if I had seen sight of what this looks like, I would have possibly recalled it much quicker than a whole barrage of...
But you're not letting it go, Marion. You're not letting it go.
I'm not letting it go, Joe. Oh, okay. I'm just not. And I mean, if I get the 3,000 back, at this stage I'll give it to charity I'd love to give it to one of those, that lovely student that has lost far more in terms of blood, sweat and tears than I have.
Okay. Aaron O'Neill. Aaron, good afternoon. How much?
Hey, Joe. I lost €2,900.
Bank of Ireland?
Yeah, through Bank of Ireland, yeah.
Same system?
So exactly the same, yeah. Yeah. I received a message, I think it was on the 18th of July, Saturday morning. Friday before that, I was in Kildare Village, which was doing a bit of shopping. And the next thing, I woke up to these two texts. Mm-hmm. And they came in within about 40 minutes of each other. And I didn't think much of the first text.
Okay.
And then the second text came in. So these were both reading that my account was frozen due to irregular activity. So I went into the link, and of course it told me that the transaction of €2,900 was going to be put through. Can you please put in your details to confirm that this wasn't you who put this transaction through?
Yeah.
So I put in my details, and actually I didn't ring the bank or anything afterwards. I just went away thinking that I hadn't put this transaction through.
Mm-hmm.
So then later on that afternoon, that Saturday afternoon, I got a call from a fella who claimed he was from Bank of Ireland, and he rang me on a Bank of Ireland number. And he asked me, had I received a 6-digit verification code, which I had just received. And I told them that, I got the verification code, and it says, I asked him, I said, can you stop this transaction that I went through this morning? And he said, oh yeah, we'll freeze the card, and that's it, over and done with. So then he just hung up the phone. So that was that. And I rang my father then about 10 minutes later, and I told him everything that had happened this morning. So he told me to check my bank account balance, and next thing, the €2,900 was gone out of my account. So I rang Bank of Ireland back on this number that this fella had called me, because this was the only Bank of Ireland number that was available at the time. And I got through to like a woman who was Bank of Ireland, a genuine Bank of Ireland woman. And I explained the whole situation to her. And she told me, because I'd realised that it came through in through a Revolut account. So she told me to contact Revolut. And anyway, they froze the card. I got the card deleted, and it's all gone now. So she told me to contact Revolut. So I contacted Revolut, asking them, can they stop, block this transaction, stop what they were doing. Now, they only have a text message line, so I wasn't actually speaking to someone. It was like speaking kind of to like a robot or something like that. And they told me to go to the guards about it. So I went to the guards, and I let them know what had happened. And I told them that the Bank of Ireland told me that I was going to get a letter within the next 5 or 7 working days. So I got the letter, and it was the same letter that everybody else had got, saying that I wasn't going to get the
refund. And we have an interesting statement in from the Central Bank today, which mirrors what Richard Emery, our fraud expert yesterday from the UK, was saying. In relation to this particular issue, the Central Bank cannot comment on individual cases. However, payment service providers, including banks, are required to comply with the Central Bank's Consumer Protection Code. The rights, I'm skipping, they also set out the rights of the consumer to a refund in certain circumstances. For example, where their transaction is deemed unauthorised, well, that's people who had money transferred unauthorised from one account to another, the consumer is entitled to a refund. However, the consumer should bear the full loss of the unauthorised transaction if they have acted fraudulently or have not complied with certain obligations intentionally or through gross negligence. And the Richard Emery precedent in the UK for gross negligence and not complying with certain obligations was somebody who has their pass card in their wallet, and beside the pass card with a bit of paper is the four-digit PIN code for you. That's grossly negligent. That was his example, and he pointed out, he went through all their examples, that people weren't being grossly negligent, far from it. Laura is a student. Laura, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
How much?
500.
Oh, for God's sake. What happened?
I was relatively lucky now. After listening to all of your previous callers, I realised how much worse it could have been. But
okay.
I wouldn't normally do this show, but the more cases I hear... and the lack of reaction by the rank, the more passionate I feel about something actually being resolved here for everyone. What happened to me was a very similar situation to Aaron there.
Yeah.
So I received a text last Sunday evening warning me about abnormal transactions and that my account had been frozen. And okay. I didn't actually think much of that because I had made a few unusual transactions that weekend, just coincidentally. So I didn't see anything strange about the text. And there was a link again to follow in order to rectify the frozen account. So okay. The next morning I got a reminder text about it. So I followed the link at that point and filled in my login details and thought no more about it.
Yeah.
And then on the Monday afternoon, just like Aaron, I got a call. Again, it was coming up from the official Bank of Ireland number, and I actually Googled it as I was answering because I'm very cautious about answering numbers that I don't know. And, hello, this is Adam from Bank of Ireland, just ringing to clarify some of the recent transactions, and found it extremely legitimate. Again, like Aaron, he told me about a large transaction that was going to be processed through my account, and he wanted to verify whether I had authorized that. I said, no, I hadn't. And so he said, well, if you could just read out the security code that we sent on to you there. Again, this came in through the official Bank of Ireland text thread.
Okay.
So I read out the code. And then as soon as I read out the code, I had already started to feel a bit uneasy because I hadn't, to be honest, I haven't had that many interactions over the phone with the bank anyway. But I kept telling myself, no, Laura, it's the official number. I've never heard of any kind of software that can be used to mask numbers. I've obviously heard of, you know, warnings not to answer numbers from different countries that you don't have any contacts in. So I thought, no, I'm just being paranoid. And then I read out the code, and straight after reading it out, I said to him, you know, I'd actually prefer to verify my identity another way through security questions, maybe, and you hold up the phone.
Okay, well done.
And then at that point, I knew, obviously, that something had happened. So I went straight onto my 365 and they had moved all of my savings into my current account. And because I have one of these very easy to access, which is obviously fine.
Don't you have to authorize your money being transferred from one account to another?
Well, you see, the thing is, if they are able to get your details through their submission, that means they have access to both accounts.
Okay.
Yeah, so the money was gone. Exactly, the 500 was gone, and the rest of my money had been moved into my current account.
Okay.
I checked back in the official text thread, and several more of these supposed security codes had come through. So obviously their intent was to clear me out code by code, and he'd actually tried to ring me back through the official number again, so that was obviously the intention.
Okay. Laura, how did you save the 500 euro?
I actually didn't save the 500 euro. So like everybody else who's rang in, I haven't had any joy. I've been through to the fraud team, and ironically enough, they sent me a text the next day to let me know they were working on the case and that they would send me another text to let me know how it was going. So I was saying to one of your colleagues, you know, for a company who warns us about all of these texts, they really have a penchant for sending them. I haven't actually heard anything. Sorry, Joe.
But what I mean is, how did you earn the 500 euro?
How did I earn it?
Yeah, were you working?
I'm a student, but I'm working on a research project that actually provides a monthly stipend. So it equates to less than minimum wage for the work that you do, but.
So you're on below the minimum wage,
yeah,
and they've stolen it on you.
Yeah.
Terrible. Okay, Laura, are you going to keep going at the bank or the central bank of financials? I know it's all. I smell a joint claim coming on from people who get together, and because with the likes of Marion, when did you qualify as a barrister, Marion?
Sorry, is that me?
Yeah, you sound like you have the skills of a barrister, Marion. That's what I'm saying.
My God,
That's lovely. Thank you so much. No, I'm just a little school teacher.
Well, you're I'm just looking.
Retired.
I'm just looking at your points here at the long Bank of Ireland rejection of your complaint. You have a lot of arguments to stand on. You really have. Okay, Marion, Aaron, and Laura, sorry for the trouble. I think there's more people coming up later on.
Can I just say one last
thing?
Yes,
Marion, yes. You're a typical barrister.
No, I have not been grossly negligent. I've listened to every single day of this, and neither have any of those other unfortunates whom you've spoken to. I have not handed someone my bank and my passcodes, my bank card, and I've not allowed them to use them. The bank wants all our information, forensically nearly, to verify who we are. No information is needed to verify who they are. That was stated yesterday, and quoting someone else.
Okay.
And it was a brilliant analogy of what's happening. They have to tighten up their security, not expect us to take the blame.
Okay.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes,
I totally agree with Marion there. I have to say, I was reading through the terms and conditions, and I know that some of these have already been quoted, Tejo, but 12.10, which is available to read on Bank of Ireland's website, states that if they suspect any fraud, they will advise us by call or SMS as appropriate, and if they deem it necessary, they may block our accounts and advise us of the block and how to remove. So, actually, it seems to me that that term is in direct contradiction with the recent warnings that they've been forced to put out there now in reaction rather than in prevention of what has happened.
So you're saying that the Bank of Ireland in their T's and C's say, if there is a fraud, we'll text you.
Yeah. And then they go on to say, if we deem it necessary, we may block your account and advise you of the block and how to remove it. So actually, it seems to me like the fraudsters are better read than the bankers in this case.
Okay. Thanks, Laura. Thanks, Aaron O'Neill. Thanks, Marion Logue. Now, Durand, let me bring in John Clark back to scams and banks. But your one is slightly different, John. How much did they get?
Just over 17,000, Joe.
Wow.
And it was done in a way that it looked so orthodox that you wouldn't think there was ever going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing some refurbishment work in a building, and as you know, when you're doing building work, you get a series of stage payments to correspond with the work that's been done. So coming up to Christmas, the builders were anxious to get a few quid in, and they asked us, would that be okay? And we said, fine. And we got an email to say, that's great, that's agreed. And then we shortly after that got an email to say, these are the account details and thanks very much. So no one thought anything of it. It looked genuine. It was, you know, even you possibly have seen the thing there, Joe. But the only thing was a slight change in the email address. And the email said, it's to be lodged to our TSB account. This is the number, which it was. So then Christmas came and it was in about the 5th or 6th of January, they rang to say, you never sent in that lodgement. And we said, we did actually. So the scam emerged at that point. But it was pretty sophisticated in the sense that someone had access to the email system to find out that been watching to see when was this going to happen, or the finance department of the builders were sending out their bills for Christmas. I suppose that's an obvious time to target people. But then what they did was they transferred the money from our bank to a TSB bank. And what happened, according to the guards, is that they used an account, as they call it, a mule account, where somebody has probably paid a few hundred quid their two bits of paper, their phone bill and their something else, and set up the bona fide account. And then the money is transferred into that account and then out again. So the chance of finding the trail are pretty small.
Any chance, any prospect of getting any of your money back?
At the moment, it's with the guards. And when we inquired, they say it's still under investigation. But we're not getting any feeling that there's much progress there or any likelihood of getting any money back.
Okay. Just to be extra careful. It's a sophisticated scam, isn't it?
It's amazingly sophisticated, because it was kind of, if you like, a pally email, kind of apropos, Dave, what we discussed yesterday. Would you mind sending that in? That's the account number. Many thanks. Have a good Christmas type of feel to it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't at all a formal kind of stereotype of thing that they were putting out.
Is there any way, it's 18 grand, is there any people on the chain that might agree to split the hit?
Well, we needed to get the work completed. The builder needed to get paid. So we kind of, both of us, sucked up a bit of it and got on with it. That's really it, do you know?
God, the perils of small business. It's just awful, and everything else you're going through.
Yeah, it's tricky.
So demoralising, isn't it?
For sure, it is, yeah. Particularly coming into the COVID period as well. Do you know, I mean, for anyone to have that hit. I heard a lady on there with you who had taken a loan out to pay a loan and ended up getting the second loan. I mean, that was just remarkably bad luck, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, John Clark. John, thanks indeed. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Emma, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. What happened? You're a 19-year-old law student in UL. You were hoping to go on a trip to South Africa. And,
yeah, a volunteering trip.
And how much was stolen from you through Bank of Ireland?
Over €2,500, which was going for my Africa trip, and I was going to use some of it towards my rent for college because I'm from Wicklow and I go to college in Limerick, so I don't have the option to commute like I needed to have accommodation. And I wanted to be able to take the burden off my parents to have to pay for it.
And had you been getting texts from the Bank of Ireland previously on this thread?
No, not on this thread, not the same thread, but like the name that came up on the contact when the text message came to me, it was Bank of Ireland. Like it came up as a contact that I should have already had saved, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just trusted it. And because I received the message when I was in such a rush and then seeing there's fraudulent activity on your account, I was like, oh my God, like I need to get this sorted straight away. So I clicked on the link, put in my details, thinking, okay, I'll just get this sorted. It didn't even cross my mind. It was so believable. Like it was such a sophisticated scam. Like I couldn't, like it didn't even cross my mind. So I put in my details without second thought, which was probably naive on my behalf, but it just looked so real. Like I didn't have a reason to doubt it, if that makes sense. So put in my details, whatever, and then checked my account thinking, because they said that I needed to put my details in to cancel the transaction. So I went onto my account and I realized like I authorized the transaction by doing that, you know? So it was like a kick in the face. I felt like in the pit of my stomach, so sick. I got hysterical. So I rang Bank of Ireland straight away. I presumed it would be easy enough for them to just cancel it, like get in touch with the retailer, cancel it, because it was all done online. And I was hysterical. I got in touch and they basically said, like, there's not a lot we can do, but we can forward it on to the investigating unit or whatever it is. And he was like, they'll be in touch for like 2 to 5 business days. And I was like, that's too long. Like, the money is well gone by then, you know? So, it was heartbreaking. It was really hard.
And they got the money out quickly out of your account?
Yeah, it went straight away.
Wow. And you say you were hysterically crying. Was there any empathy or sympathy or consolation for you? They obviously realised how distressed you were.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to try to do everything I can. But in these circumstances, it usually falls on, but like, you're liable usually in these circumstances. But he said, because it's such a large amount of money, I will forward your case on. Mm. But like that has me thinking, what if it was €500 and would they still do the same, or would they just be like, sorry, it's your fault, tough luck?
And Emma, your money is €2,500 that's been stolen through the Bank of Ireland by these fraudsters. How did you raise that money?
Some of it was through donations, but I also work as a, because I set up a GoFundMe for donations for my Africa trip because it's a volunteering trip.
Great.
And people donated their money to me to like sponsor me almost. A lot of the money came from my waitressing job as well, because I work part-time, and I'd nearly saved up the perfect amount to pay off the whole volunteering trip and be able to go. But then COVID came, obviously, but I was just nearly there. And then for it all to just be pulled away from me like that, it was just so devastating. Like,
and what would happen now? Can you go? Well, South Africa's gone, is it?
Yeah, well, it was cancelled anyway because of the COVID trip, but it was postponed to January. But I won't have enough money by then, I don't think, to be able to pay for it. So it's a whole experience taken away from me. So it's just heartbreaking.
And did you get the Dear Mary letter saying, the Dear John letter saying, it's your fault, not our fault?
Yeah, you're held liable. It said, like,
It's not us, it's you.
So it's fully liable, yeah. And that was like another kick in the face because I was like, oh, like I already feel stupid enough as it is. And I wouldn't classify myself as like a naive person at all. Mm-hmm. So to be told like, this is completely your fault, like we have nothing to do with it, it was just like another kick in the face.
And was there any note of sympathy in the letter saying we're so sorry? And
not really. And the other thing that really annoyed me was that I had to get in touch. Obviously, the first call I had with Bank of Ireland, they had to cancel my 365 banking account to make sure no more money was taken out of it. Mm-hmm. So, and then I got the text message saying that they were investigating my case and I'll hear back between 2 and 5 days. And I never heard back from them. And went for like 2 weeks. And then I was like, this is getting ridiculous. And I needed to set back up my 365 banking account. So I rang up to get it set back up. And I said to the woman, I was like, I'm awaiting like a text message or a letter to let me know how this investigation is going on. This was 2 weeks later. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, like, I'll try my best. I'll see what I can do. And she put me on hold or whatever. And she said that the man who I was dealing with wasn't actually in office or something. Like, he wasn't there at the time. Mm-hmm. So I just was like, okay, like, that's fine, whatever. And then about 2 or 3 days after that, then I got the letter. So it was over 2 weeks I was waiting, thinking, am I going to get this money back? Am I not? Like, what's going to happen?
I heard. But as I say, the letter is the opposite of the Dear John letter. Dear John says, it's me, not you, that's breaking.
Yeah.
This letter is the Dear John Bank of Ireland letter saying, it's you, not us. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Are you going to pursue it?
I'm not sure what I can do. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm not.
Well, there's
sure
a financial services and pensions ombudsman. There's a central bank.
Yeah, I feel like I should take it further. But for me, once I got that letter, I was just so heartbroken. I felt like they were telling me, like, that's it. Like, just give up. You know, like, stop. Like, don't even try to pursue this any further. Because they were basically telling me, like, it's all my fault. And it just breaks my heart to imagine, like, if that was to happen. Because I would have considered myself also to be quite tech savvy. Like, I would kind of, you know, I'm a young person. I'm up to date with, like, social media and everything. But God forbid an older person received that text message and they naively clicked on it.
Of course,
can
you imagine?
And all their money was just taken.
Well,
like,
we know.
Emma,
just finally, we put a lot of people on air, but a lot of people have contacted us or have been scammed. But they're too embarrassed to go on air. They feel they were stupid. And especially as the bank is telling them they're stupid.
Yeah,
inter alia, by saying you gave your car keys away. And even if you were, this was the analogy from the Bank of Ireland CEO to those people, you gave your car keys away. And even in a fit of idiocy or being overwhelmed by some hallucinogenic drug, you did give your car away to a stranger. You could always go the next day to the Garda station saying, this is my car, here's my papers, here's my reg number, and you get your car back. Anyway, okay, keep campaigning to get your money back, Emma, and well done.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
And that was Emma. Straight into Kevin. Kevin Donnelly, of about 90 seconds. This is good news. Bank of Ireland scandal again. You lost how much?
€500. And I got onto them that night. I had a long day and I was tired. And I'm in up in northwest Spain. And I got this message and it looked correct. And then when I clicked on it, it said, you know, did you do this transaction? And you were drawing money from an ATM machine in another town. And that was correct. So I was pressing certain things and it led me down a road, a track. And next thing, suddenly I had kind of consented with a standing order, which I never thought I did.
Okay.
And next thing, I got onto the security that night and they blocked my 353 part. Now, it's only a secondary account for me. They're just a backup account. And then a couple of days later, I went through the whole procedure with somebody on the phone. And it went to another Bank of Ireland account, and they refunded me the money.
Oh, they got your money back. Okay. When you what day of the week did this happen?
It happened on a Sunday night at around 10 o'clock.
You see, maybe I'm wrong, but I've heard a number of callers already say because of COVID, the 24 fraud section in the Bank of Ireland, they'll clarify it for us if it isn't open at weekends. That's what some caller said. So you were lucky in that sense, I do believe, but we'll clarify. Okay, Kevin Donnelly, well done on getting your money back. Mark Dwyer's on sound, Richard Burns on research, Mae Mooney was the BCO, Rebecca Mean producing. Catherine Thomas is next.